No, I don't have a Bible verse. You want to make one up?
I don't care, but right now I got to make a quick call. So I'm going to... And
okay,
then
the queue is open. Anybody wants to be in the queue, please go ahead and let me open up. I do have a Bible verse, and I will get my scriptures real quick.
Okay. I can get this working. Hang on.
I ought to give that today is the Monday night call. It is the 9th of September, Monday night, the 9th of September, 2024. And John's having problems getting in, so that explains that part. And I'm looking up a scripture that I read earlier today. Where is the first psalm? I submit that it's actually in Chronicles 16. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, and I'm messing up these names, I know, Jehiel and Mattaniah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also had Jaziel, and the priests, and the trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hands of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, this might not have been his first. This might have been a special one because they had gone and gotten the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back to the tabernacle because David wasn't allowed to build the house of the Lord yet. So maybe it wasn't the first one, but I thought it interesting that that's where it starts talking about David's Psalms. So I'll leave it at that. Gerard, are you ready?
I am here now.
Okay, go ahead, sir. It's all yours.
I don't know what our agenda is. It looks like we have, how many people we got in the queue? I mean, I guess
about three?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That's why. I don't see. Okay, we got three people in the queue. Okay, so a lot of stuff going on all over the place. If you don't think anything's going on, it's because you're looking in all the wrong places. You know, there is a lot of stuff going on, and much of it is behind the scenes. And this is that war that will not be televised. And so much of it is covert. And you know, actually, Ollie put up a very good video today with, what's the name of those guys on the news one? Let me see here. Let me get it right. It was all about the bait and switch that Donald Trump's been doing to them. Well, it's not Donald Trump, it's the White Hats. Very good video. It puts things in perspective. That's the kind of stuff that we look at and watch to know where the country is. Things are going to start moving faster, though. Hang on a minute. Where is that? Oh, right here. I think Ollie's going to come in, too, tonight. But Channel 17 Q's News Review. I wonder if I can put that up. This, I have a link here that actually, you know, you got to get in this whole video on this Q17 with Mike King is like over 2 hours long. It was a live thing. But if you go in on the first hour, and I can maybe we can put this link in for people to grab. Terry, I don't know if we have a place where we can stick it where everybody can see it. Let's see, copy.
Well, you can put it here and everybody can listen to it. And if you want to start and share your video, there's a share button at the bottom of the video for the those people who have come in through a computer. So it's your call.
Okay. Hang on a minute.
There's one simple.
Oh, these stupid ads. They're such a pain in that.
All right, so.
I'm not going to run this whole thing or anything, but this. Matter of fact, Terry, I think I sent you the URL for this, which Ollie set up so it goes in at the right spot so you don't have to listen to the first hour and a half or whatever it is. I just dropped it in your box. And I'm going to share my screen. And just real quick, and then we'll get on to the regular NLA stuff where we left off last week in case anybody, we have a follow-up to do. But let me see. I'm not sure. I'm not used to sharing screen.
I've got it here, but I probably can't share.
Let's see.
Squeezing bandwidth out of me.
Tell me if you can see this.
Not yet.
I
see it now. You are sharing.
Okay, so this is the video that I'm referring to. Let me get this thing out of my way.
Okay. Start it. Make it full screen when you get a chance.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my stupid. Okay, full screen. Now, this is Mike King. I like him a lot. These three guys got different, you know, the way they look at things and the way they disseminate it. And you can't even argue with them because they're using almost like fundamental things that you can't deny, and that's what I like. So I'm gonna play this for a little bit, listen to it, and then we'll discuss it. It's pretty good, though. I really like the way this was all put together. It's like when we go through when John put together the whole timeline of how they stole America from us, you know, right from the beginning in the Judiciary Act. And actually, Adavon Ritz set up a thing, and it was very good, and John borrowed it, used it from her, because she did such a good job of documenting an outline. This is kind of like that, because it brings you into these facts that you can't deny. These are facts that you can go look up right now, and they're there. They're self-evident. So I find it very compelling. So let's without further ado, let me let this play. I'm going to go get my drink because I'm going to get cotton mouth here talking. Let's see.
Titled, Understanding the Two Faces of Donald Trump.
Can you hear that?
Okay, this is not a New York Times article.
No, we can't. Did you click on share the sound?
You know what? I probably didn't. Son of a gun.
Might have to stop it to reset.
Yeah, I did stop it. Let me go back.
While we're doing it.
There. Gerard does go on a better show on Wednesday mornings where he actually talks quite a bit and shows a few things once in a while. That's at 11 o'clock on Eastern Time on Wednesday mornings on DLive.tv/PSB. It's called Patriot Soapbox, or Vaughn.live/PSB, all little letters PSB. Go ahead. I don't see you sharing it yet.
Hang on. Let me know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't hear it yet, though.
Okay, just give it a minute. And I think it should go now.
The blowhard? The buffoon?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear it.
All right, let me just back it up a little bit.
That kind of dissemination of information.
Right.
Okay, this is the beginning. Just listen to this. Listen to this for a little bit, and then I'll come back.
No chance.
Who'd believe it? Yeah. They shoot it down in a heartbeat.
Yep. All right, so moving on. The next story from realnewsandhistory.com is titled Understanding the Two Faces of Donald Trump. Here we go.
Okay, this is not a New York Times article. This is just a regular feature article. And the two faces of Donald Trump. One is the blowhard, the buffoon, okay? The guy who seems like a con man at times. And the other one is the wise, cunning, patient warrior, straight out of the school of the art of war, Sun Tzu. And I think it's important to understand this, or for people in our world to understand this, because a lot of people jumped off the Trump train, myself included, in early 2017. And in time, I came to understand that Trump acts one way, talks one way, for strategic purposes necessary. But it's got nothing to do with the agenda. So you've got to keep your eye on the football, not the fakes and the dukes. Okay, keep your eye on the ball, and you'll understand Donald Trump. And this piece here has helped quite a few of my readers. It turned them. Some of them were anti-Trump. Some of them were ambivalent because of things he has said in the past. But then you see this piece here, and you understand unmistakably that he's a master chess player, and he's really selling it like nobody else could. So I put together a long series of articles on various issues to show what I call the bait and switch pattern. And the people he's baiting are the deep state or the neocons, his enemies. And then he switches it up and down. And a lot of us, as I'll explain as we go through this, sometimes we don't catch it and we get upset at him. You know? So let's scroll down and tackle these one by one. I talk about the hate mail that I get from far-right black pill dealers and addicts. There's still people out there that insist Trump is one of them. He's a deep state. He's a globalist. He's a Zionist. And that emotion kicks in, and you can't reason with some of these folks, but some of them you can't. We do our best, but as we go through this, you'll understand why some people turn negative on him. So let's scroll down here. And the first image here, this is what we need to understand, what he was up against and what he achieved. Hillary Clinton was a done deal. Newsweek already had the cover. Madam President, ready to go. It was all rigged. And somehow he beat them because the White Hats were able to suppress just enough voter fraud for him to be elected. And we all know what happened now throughout the campaign, but especially after he won the election. All these guns were pointed at him. ABC, New York Times, NBC, DNC, United Nations, Univision, the globalists, the Clinton, everything. Okay? Think back. People have to jog their memory what it was like in those dark days of 2017, how hard it came at them. There were these big, massive demonstrations, protests in Washington there every week. They had the March for Women. They had the March for Science. They had the March for Climate. DiCaprio and Madonna, the late life comedians ripping him in the most harsh, disrespectful terms night after night. Alec Baldwin with the playing Trump with the Twitter. And then came the Mueller investigation. And we know now what was the White House, but that 2017 was so bad. But by the end of the year, most Trump supporters were already resigned to the fact he's not going to get nothing done. And 4 years from now, he'll be gone. It's just too much. Look what they're throwing at him. Because this was the last stand of the deep state. They were still at full power, even though they were surrounded and targeted. They had all their weapons. And they were throwing everything but the kitchen sink at them. So you've got to understand that context before we go through the rest of my presentation here and explain why he puts on two faces. Even the bloody Pope was attacking him, the fake communist Pope. It was so bad. So bad. Okay? So Trump working around such a handicap required patience and cunning on a level which even his supporters cannot grasp. So let's start issue number one. We'll scroll down on the Clintons. Here's Trump's true position, what he believes. Lock her up. The media attack. Trump's threats to arrest the Clintons smack of fascism. They attacked them for using such language. So what did Trump do? How Trump silenced the attack? After winning the election, he went on 60 Minutes. Remember this? He says, Clintons are good people. I don't want to hurt them. People in our community went nuts. Oh, he was going to lock her up. Now he's saying they're good people. That's the black. I call it the black pill society. God love them. You know, they're with us. They're just too emotional. That once you start to hate sometimes, you know, it's hard to reason. Okay, I mean, there's a time and place for hatred, but you have to also be aware. If you're in a state of hate, ask yourself if it's clouding your judgment. But this is what the black pill society said. See that? Trump's not even in office yet. And he's already broken his promise to have Hillary arrested. The end result? The dirty deeds of the Clinton Mafia have indeed been investigated. And if we scroll down, I'm going to bring the receipts here. Here's the bait. Trump says he's not interested in pursuing a case against Clinton. So it took all the pressure and all the attacks off of him that were coming from the media. Oh, he's not going to arrest her. That's good. Trump on prosecuting Clinton. I don't want to hurt her. Okay, that's the bait. The switch. Scroll. This is from the New York Times. This is from 2020. Justice Department investigated Clinton Foundation until Trump's final days. She was being investigated the whole time, and truth be known, she's been locked up, and I'm quite certain executed already. But that Clinton Foundation was, you better believe it was investigated. So that, you see what I mean about the bait and switch. Okay? Don't invite all these attacks on yourself. Don't waste all that political capital. Just say, oh, Clinton's a good people. I'm cool with them. On the down low, they took her out. That's what I mean by the two faces of Donald Trump. The House Freedom Caucus, established in 2015, this was really the first beachhead established by the Q operation, even before Trump. Okay, these were America First, far-right congressmen, Jim Jordan, Ron DeSantis, Mark Meadows, a bunch of others. They were hardcore. They're mentioned in the Q post, by the way, in 2018 or 2019, House Freedom Caucus. Okay.
Yeah, I just looked at...
They're going to be running the Congress.
Mentioned four times in the drops.
Yeah. Okay. So, how does this Trump's true position, these are his boys, Okay. The media attack. Freedom Caucus is far-right extremists. How does Trump handle it? He attacked them and criticized them. He says, oh, they're so far-right. He picked a fight with them, a fake fight, just like he did with Jeff Sessions. The Black Pill Society. See that? Trump and Paul Ryan are attacking the finest members of Congress. Trump is a phony. The end result, Trump engineered a situation in which the Freedom Caucus now controls the U.S. Congress with a Q. It's going to be the Congress. These are the guys who are going to be running the show when the real Congress is reestablished. So, again, let us review the bait. Trump threatens a fight against the Freedom Caucus. Trump calls out the Freedom Caucus members in a tweet storm. And look at this tweet. The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team. We must fight them and the Democrats. He's equating the Freedom Caucus with the Democrats. Freak people out in our movement. The switch. Look at his headlines. The Freedom, this is 2022, the Freedom Caucus defends Trump at all costs. Freedom Caucus members who huddle with Trump. Whilst Freedom Caucus gears up for majority, claims orientation. Trump has always been besties with these guys. Same with Putin. Trump once in a while will throw out an insult against Putin. Or, you know what I'm saying? He's working with him the whole time. So, again, that's twice. Trump spoke one way, but when it counts, acted another. He locked up Hillary, and he's besties with the Freedom Caucus. That's how it works. Next, climate change. This was one of the early ones. This one pissed me off before he was even inaugurated. You remember he was holding court at the Trump Tower. All these people coming in to visit him. He did business with Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Gore. They're going to school him on climate change. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, what the? What are you meeting with these assholes for? This is a hoax. You said this was a hoax, and now you're giving these people audience in Trump Tower? And Al Gore comes out of there saying, you know, he was surprisingly open-minded. Okay? And the Black Pill Society, including myself, we're very agitated. See that? Trump is being controlled by that libtard Ivanka, that daughter of his. They believe in global warming. What is the end result, though? Trump pulled us out of the Paris climate scam, ramped up domestic energy production, defunded and fired a whole bunch of global warmist fraudsters at the EPA, and you might want to add to this the Supreme Court decision banning the EPA from regulating CO2.
Yeah. Virginia versus Let's EPA. Review.
The bait, the climate con, the bait. Headline, Donald Trump meets with Al Gore on climate change. Scroll. Leonardo DiCaprio just met with Donald Trump. And the switch. U.S. exit Paris Climate Accord after Trump stalls global warming action. Trump administration removes scientists in charge of assessing climate change. He bait and switched them again. Okay? Yeah, climate change, important problem. And then he pulls us out of Paris. But it's critical that he does it this way because it mitigates that whole fake news, libtard cacophony that they throw at him on these issues. He just says, yeah. No, I agree with you. We got to do something about this. We got to do something about that. Keep your eye on the action, not the rhetoric.
That's right. And you think of where we are at this point, Mike. You know, that's why I love looking back at this stuff with you, because you said the key word. You said, you know, think about what we went through. You're absolutely right. I mean, just the environmental protests that we saw. You know, think about the protests that we saw, the violent protests, and the January 20th, the day he came in. I mean, they burned half of D.C. down. They were burning limos and cars.
Yeah.
And yet, here we sit, and then you have to say to yourself, well, if that's the way it is when the bad guys are in control, if the bad guys were still in control, you would expect, going back to your previous story, that when you reverse something like affirmative action, you'd have every city in the country burning down or every college campus. What have we heard? Nothing.
Cricket.
Absolutely nothing. Cricket. Nothing. Abortion. Yep. You thought abortion, they had most of this country believing that if you said the word abortion in the wrong place, that they were going to start burning down New York City. Yet they turned it over. There was like 50 people complaining outside of the Supreme Court for a week, and then they all got a sandwich and went home. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
And that not only shows you, it not only shows you how manipulated we were, many of us, by the mainstream media, into believing that there were so many more people than us who were in favor of this stuff, but it also should show you how well in control the operation is with the good guys. Because not only are you not seeing the backlash and the protests, you're not even seeing the media complain about it anymore. I mean, nothing. It's almost like it's been forgotten. And
yep.
this is brilliant the way you've laid this story out. Keep going, Mike.
They don't have the money, and they don't have the muscle, and they don't have the media anymore. So what do you get?
Right.
You get crickets. North Korea, this was... this is when he was losing me in the first half of 2017, okay? Because initially he said, well, I met with Dennis Rodman.
I got to be honest with you guys. I went through a lot of the same thing he did at those times. When I saw who he was talking to and what he was doing, I was like, what the hell is he doing? And why is he surrounding himself with these neocons and this and that? I was right there along with the rest of us. But you gotta see the game that they're playing, and he hasn't stopped yet. I think this puts things in perspective for us. You know, they're telling us, you know, that, you know, we're a minority. Oh, God forbid we get rid of Roe versus Wade. And like he said, there wasn't even barely a protest over it. They whimpered away because they've always lied to us, smoke and mirrors, you know. And they're at the end of their tricks right now, I believe. But I'm going to let this play longer. There's some good stuff in here, you know, with Putin, and it kind of puts in perspective where we are right now. So I'm gonna leave it run unless let me see what we let me just check in on the show who we got here. I don't wanna neglect the queue, so we'll make some time to get into the queue and answer some questions over here within the hour, okay? Let me just double check this and see. Oh, it's in here. Okay, well, it looks like I see 1, 2, 3, 4 in the queue. And if you want to get in the queue, you should get in there now and just sit there until we end this. And hopefully I'll be able to get it, you know, be able to give answers to everybody in the queue or, you know, address their questions or whatever. Okay. Is everybody still there? You hear me? I want to make sure you're hearing me and I'm not... broadcasting to outer space. Okay. I'm gonna start the video back up. Yeah, anybody got anything, any comments they want to make? I can pause it for comments at this point. There's some other good stuff coming up that I don't want to miss. You know, because some of this, as he goes through this, you go, oh yeah, you get these attacks of, I remember that, oh yeah. You know what I mean? If you haven't had them already up to this point, you know. But these are all news articles that were out there that you can check that's right in front of our faces. But we get down and we get blinded. Our emotions get a hold of us and we feel like nothing's going on. Meanwhile, if nothing's going on, it's only because nothing's going on with us. But these guys on the top are out there and we need to step into, I think it's in this too, they show all the guys that have dropped out of big business and government, and even some, you know, a lot of politicians that were in the height of their careers, young guys, 30-something years old, leave office. And that was due to the team taking them out. Donald Trump's are the war, getting to them saying, look, we know you took this China money. Look, you better step down now because we're going to have you on treason. You keep going, we'll have you hung. Took them out before the end of the battle, and that's what's going on daily, whether you know it or not. I mean, and I think it's in here. I don't know if Ollie's here, but they do a song in there. Oh, it was The End We Know. He does another one, Bites the Dust song, and another one's down. And as they're playing that song, I didn't realize it, they're flashing pictures on the screen of all the people who have been removed. They've either been killed or left or whatever. You don't see them anymore. They're no longer on television. And the song is playing, and they got the picture of the guy, and they go, they either say, soon or gone, soon to be gone. I mean, it's really good because it's exactly what's going on. And you don't always see it because we're not privy to it. And if you're not listening or looking in the right places, you won't see it. So I'm going to keep going because I think this is good for people. I think we need this. We need this kind of a pep talk, so to speak. You say, oh, what is going on? When's the military going to come in? Let me tell you something. The military's here. They're in New York City. There's a reason for that. They had them there before. They never left. You know what I mean? They've been playing this cat and mouse game. Don't forget, this is a worldwide battle. This is World War III. Look, we took World War III. We beat the Soviet Union without firing a shot because we debased their money. We did the same thing to them that they're trying to do, that the deep state is trying to do to us with the money, but we did it to them. And now we're fighting this geometric battle with no, there's really no bullets flying, but believe me, people are dying, but it's not open war in the streets. And that's just the way that the white hats want it. That's the way we want it. We don't want blood in the streets if we don't have to have it. And I'm not saying that there's not going to be blood in the streets because there's some stuff coming down when they realize that they've walked themselves into a corner. You know, God leads the devil around like a bull with a ring in its nose. And they're going to realize that they're in a cage and they're in a corner. And that's when they're going to be the most dangerous and they're going to latch out. But like you said, they don't have money. They don't have the media, really. They're going to take them out of the media. They don't have what they had before. They were never worried about anything. Now they're worried about everything. That's a big, big change in this battle with the perception. Anyway, without further ado, we'll let this run a little longer.
Dennis Rodman, his buddies in Kim Jong-un, I want to make peace with Korea. That's during the campaign. Hillary attacked them. McCain attacked them. Then he got in office. He said he wanted to meet with Kim Jong-un in his first year. Meeting went nuts. Trump's true position. The dangerous Korean Cold War must end. The people need to understand, South Korea versus North Korea automatically triggers United States versus China. Okay? Because both of those powers are contractually treaty obligated to defend the other. The first Korean War, we fought China. Okay, so it's not just a local squabble, it's a World War III trigger point that was deliberately set up after World War II for that purpose. They said to the Soviets, hey, you guys come in and occupy North Korea. They weren't even in the Pacific theater. You know when the Soviet Union joined World War II? On the day of the second atomic bomb. Like, we're here, they didn't even have to get their uniforms dirty. Japan's like, okay, we surrender. They're already beaten. Why were the Soviets brought in, given jurisdiction over North Korea? And that's how you got North Korea and South Korea. But they do that on purpose, because in the future, they have these spots where they can always trigger another war if they have to. So this was an extremely dangerous scenario. Could have blown up at any time. I'm convinced Hillary would have.
Yeah, let me tell you something. They're always going to need a war, because their fiat money system won't last much longer than 40, maybe 50 years, before it taps out, before it goes into hyperinflation like we're having right now. And the way they've covered it up in the past was by starting wars. Whether it was World War II or the Vietnam War, It's always about the money, and it's always them blaming it on the war and hiding the money that they've stolen. And so it's part of that military-industrial complex, only it's the opposite of what he was saying, because really what he didn't tell us is that military-industrial complex was going to debase and launder our money and take the banks out and ruin our sovereignty. So he wasn't really as conservative as you think he was, Eisenhower. But he'll explain that. You'll see.
Activated. Trump wanted to deactivate it. The media attack or the deep state attack, quote, Trump is being soft on the dictator Kim Jong-un. So again, that cacophony I'm talking about, they're throwing everything at Trump. So he said, I want to make peace with Kim Jong-un. They blow up on him. So what does he do? He switches course. He starts calling him Little Rocket Man. We're going to hit him with such fire and fury. He sent an armada out there. Later on, we discovered they were just sailing around in circles near Australia. Okay? And people start screaming, myself included. You see that? Trump is a neocon warmonger. He's starting shit with North Korea. He never wanted peace. We come to find out later on there was back-channel negotiations, communication going on the whole time. Rand Paul was involved in that, too. What was the end result? Which is all that matters. Trump's people in back-channel communication with Kim's people. The Korean Cold War is over. North and South kiss and make up. Trump goes over there, walks into North Korea. That's over. They love Trump in the Koreas. In places like Thailand and Japan, Taiwan, because they understand what that situation potentially entails. They love Trump over there for what he did. Again now, let's review the headlines, the bait. Trump threatens to totally destroy North Korea. Remember when people were screaming, oh, did you hear him? He's going to bomb North Korea. He's nuts. The switcheroo. This happened quick. He meets Kim Jong-un, becomes the first sitting U.S. president to step into North Korea. And then he says, we fell in love. Remember that? Him and Kim fell in love. Trump said that. North and South Korea, China, U.S. agree, in principle, to end the Korean War. Below that is a tweet from Trump. Just heard Foreign Minister of North Korea speak at UN. If he echoes thoughts of Little Rocket Man, they won't be around much longer. I mean, this is a joke. And there they are. Buddy, buddy. Korean War is over. And I mean the war is over because it never ended. There was never a final treaty, just a ceasefire.
That's right.
But any U.S. president, he wouldn't have to go through U.N. resolutions or congressional declarations. No, he'd just go to war. And it's World War III with China. And, you know, just for something like this, you would think even libtards should be grateful to Donald Trump, you know, if they're so full of hatred. Because this transcends politics.
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's one of the things that back when that happened, I remember, like, one of many over that time, you know, not fully understanding at the time when this happened exactly what was going on. I wasn't so much losing my mind at Trump as much as I was losing my mind with the people around me and the media. Because I remember saying to people, I said, you know, I was trying to convince some of my friends what I was seeing that, you know, something is, the media has changed. It's completely different. You know, it's way more than just left-leaning. How they're overtly lying. And this is one of the things I pointed out. I used to say to people, I said, just stop and think about it. You have somebody, a sitting president, for the first time in 50-something years, setting foot over the most heavily militarized zone in the world, shaking hands with somebody that just 2 years ago, you know, Barack Obama was saying was going to end the world, and it's crickets. You know, in any other world, I was like, this is a... You know, a Reagan tear down that wall, or yeah, a JFK, you know, in Berlin type of moment, it was driving me nuts. I'm like, how is nobody else seeing this? Like, nobody else is, you know, everyone's just going about their day, looking at their phones, and they couldn't even see something that you're absolutely right that you said that transcends anything. It's peace, and everybody should be in favor. They had the country so disgustingly brainwashed and so disgustingly team and tribe oriented. That we actually lived through a period of time where most people would wish that we would wish against something like that. And it's one of the things that people like you and many of us, I think, will be writing about and analyzing for many decades to come, because I think that's, you know, we see it now, but I think some of the normies, when they start to wake up and they look back at what really went on over the last 8 years, they're going to say to themselves, like, holy shit, what did I listen to? What did I just come out of? It's crazy.
And the Hillarys and the McCains, they're mocking him the whole time that he yeah. embarked on that process. And by the way, when Obama left office, he also left in place something called the Asian Pivot, which was really a euphemism for the encirclement of China and the arming up. The amount of money relative to their respective GDPs that the Philippines, South Vietnam were pumping into their military, and they were getting big money from the U.S., various international aid organizations. They were building them up. Philippines, Taiwan, South Vietnam, Australia, U.S., writing was on the wall. They were going to go to war in Korea. North Korea versus South Korea equals U.S. versus China. You pointed out on one of your shows, you said this is what Obama said to Trump on his way in. Korea is a dangerous spot in the world. But that's what they were. Hillary Clinton was going to deliver hell on earth, World War III, in the Asian Pacific, and in the Ukraine, and in the Middle East, and it would have still had COVID, and it would have been a 5-year lockdown, and a deadly Gates vaccine. I mean, think of the mural at Denver Airport. That's what was being mm-hmm. planned for us, 100%.
Is that there?
These people
don't
care. 100%
right.
And that's why it's important to understand World War II. We go back to that World War II, why I say it's so important. And we talked a little bit about this on the show last week. When you understand the level of mass annihilation of civilian populations, and not even talking just Germany and Japan, during the so-called liberation of Holland and France and Belgium and Greece, we don't know how many people they killed. When you look at the level of bombardment, they don't care. They exterminate humanity like it's cockroaches. So don't think for 1 minute that the idea of them triggering a World War III is like unrealistic. Because even if it touched our shores, God knows what they got on the ground. They can live in luxury for 3, 4, 5 years if they had to. That's what Trump right. saved us from.
Absolutely.
The next one, Afghanistan. Once again, Trump's preposition, he made it known, we want to pull all the U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. And the attack from the neocons and the fake news, Trump wants to negotiate with the Taliban. They're terrorists. How did Trump handle the attack? Publicly, he ended the talks with the Taliban and he threatened to bomb them, just like with Kim Jong-un. Again, this has been known in the mainstream media, there were back channel negotiations going on. So, and now people start, Trump, he's going to keep us in Afghanistan. He broke his word. What was the end result? We pulled out, and this is the beauty. It's Trump that got us out of Afghanistan, but he did it in such a manner to embarrass Biden, you know, with the Macy's Day balloon and all the people. Yeah. So then he turns around and says, he botched the pullout, and now the Taliban is back in power. This is just a master, the way he sells it. But there's your bait and switch, and where's the headlines? The bait. Trump wanted out of Afghanistan. Now he wants to bomb it. He made the deep state and other neocons and the media happy. The end result? Republicans blame Biden for the U.S. chaotic withdrawal. Are glossing over how Trump's Taliban deal set up the disaster. That's Business Insider. So they picked up that it was Trump who set it up. So they got a twofer out of this deal. We got out of Afghanistan, and we got a great campaign issue to use against Biden and the Democrats. This is this is special operations, man. This is Ezra Cohen Watnick stuff. This is what it means, special operations. Oh, yeah. NATO, Trump's true position. He wants to kill NATO. NATO was set up for World War III purposes, not a defensive organization. Everybody knew that. The media attacked him early on before he was even elected. They said, if Trump keeps weakening NATO like this, he's going to leave the United States or Europe vulnerable to Russian attack. So how did Trump shut them up and divert them and take the heat off himself? He starts boasting about how he strengthened NATO. He got everybody to pay their dues. And now they're protected against Russia. And then the Black Pill Society said, oh, you see that? Trump is a pro-NATO globalist. What's he doing sticking up for NATO? Again and again and again, they missed the pattern. The end result? Well, NATO is not doing anything. NATO is finished. And you could read in the elite foreign policy magazines, a lot of these high-level muckety-muck think tank types openly speculating that NATO might not even be around in a few years. Okay? They're done. There is no NATO out the U.S. They haven't done anything to help Ukraine. Okay? So there's the bait. Candidate Trump. NATO is obsolete. President Trump. No, it isn't. Because then he started turning, he became pro-NATO. Just to shut people up. Donald Trump changes his NATO position. It is no longer obsolete. We need NATO because of the big bad Putin. The end result. Once again, keep your eye on the ball, not the fakes. There it is. The headline, the ultimate end of NATO. Russia's goal is not to destroy Ukraine. That could be accomplished at any time. Rather, the goal of Russia is to destroy NATO by exposing its impotence, writes Scott Ritter. Why is NATO impotent, though? Because of Donald Trump. So, there you go again. You bait and switch them.
The art of war.
Yep. And that's a beautiful thing, because NATO was the vehicle. That's why they kept building it up. That's why after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact, once that went away, NATO should have gone away, because it was the pretext for the existence of NATO was to counter the Eastern communists. But once they collapsed and the fall of the Berlin Wall and all that, NATO should have went away, but they didn't go away. Instead, they flipped it around. They swallowed up all the Warsaw Pact countries, Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, etc., and expanded right up until Russia's doorstep. That's why NATO is so dangerous. And again, it's Trump put an end to that World War III trigger point, just like he did in Korea. Where is the peace, love, dope, liberal crowd? They ought to be worshiping him, but they don't understand. They're so stupid. Syria. This one pissed me off, too. You know, like I said, it took me like 4 or 5 months to figure out the game. This was early on, 2017. Trump's true position, he wanted to end the CIA-Mossad proxy war against Syria. Okay? ISIS is CIA-Mossad, 100%. Maybe not all of the fighters are aware of that, but it's a proxy terrorist army. The media attacked them. They said Trump is being soft on the evil dictator Bashar al-Assad. So how did Trump deal with that? And it's not just the media, it's the people like the McCains and the rest of that warmongering scum of the neocon wing of the Republican Party. Remember when he called Assad an animal? Okay? And then he launched missiles. We later come to find out he told Putin in advance that he's launching missiles and they hit an empty field. It was just for show. I think McCain himself even praised this move. And then it came out a few days later, and everyone's screaming in the Black Pill Society, Trump is an Israeli-owned warmonger. He's a Zionist. He's bombing Syria. Okay? It was all a show, because in reality, he was defunding the CIA program that was funding the so-called Syrian rebels. Him and Putin took out ISIS and saved Assad. And that's the end result. After Trump defunded the CIA program, propping up the rebels, Russia and Iran finished off the CIA Mossad mercenaries on the ground, the Assad government was saved, and now Syria is rebuilding. So Trump, by withholding money, and Putin and Iran on the ground, destroyed the rebels, destroyed ISIS, and saved Syria. So there's the bait. Trump orders strikes on Syria over chemical weapons. And then below that, the switch. You scroll down. There's a tweet. This one, I love this one. Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they're coming. Nice, new, and smart. You shouldn't be partners with that gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoy it. Now, you know, you're Fox News watching patriotards. They eat this shit up. Okay? Yeah, Trump is tough. But it's a joke. And here's the switch. Trump ends covert aid to the Syrian rebels trying to topple Assad. He saved Assad. Forget about all that talk about we're going to bomb you. Trump claims credit for a serious ceasefire and says the U.S. role in the region is over. We're done. Russia, Iran, you're in charge of the Middle East. Beautiful. Bait and switch. Iran, same template. GOP hawks to Trump, you're soft on Iran. That's from Politico magazine. Okay? So then we scroll down. Trump starts talking about Iran, the bait. Donald Trump threatens overwhelming force against Iran if it attacks anything American. Okay? The Fox News crowd, yeah. Trump is tough. That's how you got to deal with those Iranians. And then the switch. Scroll. Jared Kushner extends U.S. peace offer to Iran, says Trump is ready to meet and talk with the Iranian leaders. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but I suspect back channel that's already happening. Okay? So forget about all this talk, Trump. You know, we're going to get tough with Iran. That's all part of the show. And that so-called Iranian general was killed. I looked at some of those photos. Frankly, that looks like a fake wag the dog scene. But that made all the neocons happy. We don't even know if that's true. Ain't going to be no war with Iran, I can assure you. And if it is, it's only because it will be that sum of all fears type of scenario. So you got him again.
Yep.
Are you recognizing a pattern now, gentlemen?
It's incredible. I love the way you laid this out. It's this is the kind of stuff that's absolutely undeniable.
It's bulletproof with receipts. Gun control. Oh, this kicked up a shitstorm. Trump's true position, he's pro-Second Amendment 100%. Okay? The media's plan of attack. After the 2018 hoax shooting at Parkland School in Florida, there arose that predictable, deafening roar for gun control. Okay, that was a bad one, and that was probably the last one they did. As Q said, they're all going to be dealt with, specifically when speaking about the Parkland shooting. So how did Trump silence this cacophony of attacks? He came out publicly. He said something's got to be done. You know, maybe we'll take the guns first, and then we'll find out if the people are sane later. And then they banned the bump stops. People went nuts. It was all talk. It was all smoke. It shut everybody up. Because the media was happy. They thought that they had bullied him into finally doing something on gun control. So there's the bait. Politico headline. Trump prepares to pitch gun proposals. Got a lot of our people very, very agitated. Jumped off the Q train. Remember that? The Trump train. But here's the switch. Vogue magazine. Donald Trump, who promised Parkland families, he knew they were all fake crisis actors. They could play along with it. Who promised Parkland families he would, quote, do something, will instead be speaking at the NRA's annual meeting. This is not long after the shooting. You don't give a shit. He went and spoke to the NRA. Here's another headline. What happened to Trump's promise on gun control? So in other words, he did nothing after saying that we're going to do something. The only thing that happened was a ban on an obscure mechanism called the bump stock, which makes a semi-automatic rifle fire a little bit faster. So that was it. But you know what happened last year? The Supreme Court, with a Q, they overturned that as well. So the bump stocks are now legal. So Trump ended up doing absolutely nothing. And with that Supreme Court ruling on bump stocks, you think they're ever going to rule against lesser guns like handguns or conventional semi? Of course not.
No. Gun control. No, in fact,
gun rights now are more strongly protected than ever, thanks to Donald Trump, the bait and switch.
Yep. Listen, I find this to be very profound. We don't have to go on more. I thought it was great. I was going to get through this because this is one where I screamed the loudest against Trump, and I didn't like what he was doing. He said, "Oh, we'll take the guns away first, and then we'll see if they're if they're mental, and you know what I mean, in other words, without a warrant or whatever, they're going to do the red flag laws and all that. We were all afraid." You see, I went through all this. If you didn't go through this, you weren't paying attention or you don't care about gun control. I went crazy with it because what he was doing looked like he was against us. It looked like he was part of them, and I fell for that too. And so, to me, this is very profound. Look, he's over there saying they're crisis actors. You couldn't do that a couple years ago. They'd arrest your ass. This is a very profound thing here that's going on, and if you can't see the difference in the country since before that till today and all this stuff, this is, you got to put things in perspective. And so look, at we have a job to do at NLA, and it's not any easier, but when they get done, when Trump and the military, the white hats, get done what they're doing and they take care of the top, there'll be no reason for us to not be able to take care of the bottom like we can't now, because we can't go in there and get a federal judge to rule on anything even next to the Constitution. I mean, I just heard this case. I'm going to stop my screen share here. On the 5G towers that the judge ruled against them on. And said he doesn't have the power to make them take this cell tower down where everybody in the town is getting sick. Did I stop my screen share? Can you see? I guess.
Yeah, I can still see it, Gerard.
Okay. I don't know why. This stupid thing is. Hang on a minute. Let me make this go bigger. Oh, I don't have my controls. Hello?
Down in the very bottom?
Yes, it doesn't let me click on it. What the hell? Here we go. This should do it. I don't see the screen share at all. Shoot. Here we go.
Maybe it's on more. There you go. You got it.
Okay. So anyway, it goes on and on and on, but I find it to be very, very eye-opening in explaining kind of the art of war with Trump and how we don't even begin to understand what he's trying to pull. And sometimes he's pulling a double operation. We don't give him credit for it. He should have got the Nobel Peace Prize, not Obama. You know what I mean? So when this is all said and done, I started to tell you that there was a town in I forget what state it was over here in the Northeast that was suing the cell towers because everybody's getting sick since they put this cell tower up, and the judge ruled against it, saying that he doesn't have the authority to tell them to take it down, and they put up a phony baloney study that they paid for. It was all, you know, one of those outcome based things, and they used 1G and 2G, which nobody even uses anymore. It's all 5G, you know, 3G and 5G. And they said there's no connection between cell phones and cancer and all that stuff, which is a bunch of baloney. And, you know, people are stupid. I mean, anybody that's has anything to do with electronics, like Terry's a ham radio operator, one of the things that you do is you check your exposures. And if you know the history of that RFI waves and that, you know that they were having problems with cancers. The cops were getting cataracts in their eyes from the handheld radios, right? Because the antenna went right up in front of their face. So then they gave them belt things to prevent that. And the radio went on their sides in their belt loop. And what happened? They started getting kidney cancer. So there is no question that this thing affects you. But, you know, the big business is running our government. That's what has to stop, because you can't even get a judge to rule against big business. So if they don't take the top out when it comes time for us to go after them, and all these writs that NLA is filing with them and stuff won't mean anything if we don't have somebody to enforce them. We need enforcement. And yes, the sheriff is the first line, but you still need Congress and the Senate. Very hard to dismantle something once you put it in. They said, you know, that judge was unwilling to say, he said, I'm not saying whether it does or does not cause cancer, but I don't have the authority to make them tear it down. You see what they're doing? And so we the people don't count. So who counts? The big corporation. And they give us scam studies and scam lies, absolute lies. And they said, oh, we studied 5,000 people. They studied 160 people, but over a group, they pulled out of 5,000 studies that they had, and they picked and chose the ones that showed what they wanted. So this is what we're up against. It's just like going into a county and trying to get them on voter fraud. If we don't have this cleaned up, there'll be nothing we can do. Even with our committees of safety, those judges, those judges that are treasonous, they need to be taken out. And that's what's happening now. And we better be ready when the time comes to fill that vacuum, because there is a vacuum coming. It's like what Ross Perot said. You hear that giant sucking sound? He was talking about all the business leaving America going across the border to Mexico. Well, guess what? You hear that giant sucking sound? That's our freedom if we don't step into those places, because you're going to get people, they're going to just reassemble what they're taking out right now, with these evil mafia, Caesarian mafia bastards that are running our country. You know, they've already taken the top out. I mean, Rothschild was selling his furniture in the street and his artwork. What's that tell you? Those people don't sell their furniture and artwork. Hello? You know? I mean, think about it. You got to think outside the box. You better get your counties ready, and you better get your communities of safety, because even though you might not be doing too much, I mean, there's people that are having victories with them today, because you bring a bunch of people in, like on a school board, they're easier to control than your federal judges. But we will get nowhere if we don't have enough federal judges that will uphold the Constitution, where we can go after they violate our due process rights and bring it into the Supreme Court for cause, so we don't have to run through years and years and years of state court to clean the cabal out of our towns and cities. Look at George Soros spent a lot of money in the counties. He had a sheriff in Arizona that he spent over $2 million getting him elected. Why? Why? And he got all those prosecutors elected. The prosecutor that's doing Trump, you think he's not a Soros guy? You think he's not a China money guy? Of course he is. And guess what? He needs to be hung by the neck, because he's a treasonous. He's committed treason. They all have. So this is where we are. I hope you know it. So let's see.
You're right.
We
have three questions that were sent in, and there's quite a few people in the queue now.
I see that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So give me the three questions, and we'll see how we go with it.
Okay. According to the law, and please give the law, foreign agents are to register, correct? So would it be the case that all bar attorneys should register as foreign agents?
Yes, technically so. Yes, that's true. Because they are part of a foreign corporation. The Bar Association is a British accredited, right? BAR registry, right?
Yep.
Well, it's even worse than that. Think even deeper than that. When you're in your town and your county and they got these facilitators coming in and selling you sustainable development and all this crap that they want to put us on, and these sustainable developments and you know, all this stuff, those are foreign corporations facilitating that and putting their money to put their stuff in your town and your counties. And guess what? Your town boards and your mayors and your supervisors have no business contracting with them. And we can clean that up with our committees of safety right now and the sheriff and a common law grand jury. That's what this is about. That's what we're doing. You know, and it has to be done on a grassroots level. And the only thing is they've had us so tied up through the years. This whole Trump thing is the first breath of fresh air, the first light at the end of the tunnel that I've seen. And believe me, I've been awake longer than most people on here. I knew what the Trilateral Commission was and the CFR when I was 12, 13 years old. My mother and father were John Birch members. They were considered crazy because of some of the stuff that they were talking about that was just too much for these people who were raised that the government is benevolent. And my parents, I've been hearing about this crap since I was a little kid and waiting. When's he going to do it? How do you think I feel? I'm freaking 70, what? Or 67, excuse me. And I've been waiting for a long time. We were buying survival food way back when. So it's been a long, long battle. And I got news for you. Donald Trump's father, he was a John Birch member too, whether you know it or not. So he knows. I know he knows. I know his father knows, and I know he knows. So take that for what it's worth. But anyway, go ahead. That's my answer. Yes, they should.
Okay. The next question pertains to the Brunson Brothers Supreme Court case.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this Supreme Court case, Lori Arian Brunson, petitioner versus Alma S. Adams, suing all who breached their oaths of office? Your thoughts, please.
Well, it's look at Ollie and I and John and that. We sit around and talk about this stuff. And Trump told us what the deal was. He said, you can't have 2024 until you fix 2020. And what happened in 2020? What's the Brunson case about? It's about them certifying an election that was tampered with when 100 senators said there was a problem. Guess what? Your whole Congress and your whole Senate, except for a handful of people, those 100 senators and congressmen, they're all in treason. We could take them out tomorrow. That's what the Brunson case does. And they're just not ready to do it yet. But I got news for you. Some of them have been taken out already, but that's the long and the short of it. They're going to be gone. Overnight, you're going to wake up, they're all going to be gone. So many of them are already missing and not, you know, not around. They got COVID, they got this, they stepped down, whatever reason, you know, they died, they're sick, they got family problems every day. So I believe that's what's going on, and I think you're gonna see a lot more stuff going on in the next couple weeks. So actually, you can hold your breath because you're gonna let it out and bring it in a couple times as stuff goes down here before November. And I don't know that we're gonna have an election in November. I don't see how we can, and I don't get upset with anything that this Congress and Senate are doing because Trump's letting it play out, only to go back in there and say, well, guess what? You are all fraud, and fraud vitiates everything, and so everything you did is no longer in effect. You understand that? You think Trump doesn't know that? You think the Brunsons don't know that? This is all pantomime. It's all baloney. Because if they did what they said they did, they're in they've committed treason. So they're null and void. They can't make, they cannot make laws. And the corporation is already dead. It's already been moved out, and the Federal Reserve has been put under the Treasury. There's stuff going on under your noses every day that you have no idea what they're doing. But you better get on the stick, because timing is everything. And there's going to be, all of a sudden, listen, we're living in an Exodus moment. History repeats itself. What happened in Exodus? Moses, let my people go. That's what's happening today. That's trouble. I'm going to give the country back to you. So all the 10 plagues, and then the Pharaoh lets them leave because he lost his oldest son and all, he can't take it anymore. And then what happens? He gets angry. The first thing is despair and grief, then anger. And he mounts his chariots and he goes after the Jews, who also, by the way, took most of the Egyptian people, because they were going to follow Moses, because Moses showed them that his God was way greater than any of the witch doctors that they had. So they went with them. Why do you think that the Jews in the desert, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the commandment, he came back down and they were worshiping a golden calf? Because they had been living together for 400 years. They were friendly with these people. They worked with them every day. That's what you do with prisoners. You don't beat them. You make them work. You give them a job. You know what I mean? Even the slaves in America, they used to give them a piece of land and let them live there and have their family structure, grandparents. I mean, unless you're stupid, if you think you're going to beat slaves and get work out of them, guess what? It ain't going to happen. So anyway, long story short, their back is up against the Red Sea, and what happens? Just when it looks like all is lost and the Pharaoh and his men are bearing down on them, the sea parts, they go across, and just as the last guy man gets up the hill, the sea closes on Pharaoh, and they all drown. And what they've recently, you know, within the past 20 years or something, even found the chariot wheels in the Red Sea. So it's been confirmed, you know. And there's even a passage in the Bible, I forget which, you know, I'm no Bible scholar, but when I read something, I don't forget it. And it was I don't know who was writing about it, which of the apostles or which of the forefathers that were in the church said, and the Egyptians became tibbets for the Ethiopians. What does that mean? They became tibbets for the Ethiopians, because when their bodies went out there and they all drowned and they floated up, they bloated up and floated up, the Ethiopians were cannibals. The Ethiopians went out there and took out those parts they liked best in the humans, their livers, their hearts, whatever. They were tibbets for the Ethiopians. I know that's not I can't say that that's a perfect translation, but I bet it's pretty accurate. Why would they put that in there? And even translated into English, tibbets for the Ethiopians, and we know the Ethiopians were cannibals. So there you go. And so we're in that Exodus moment right now, and I think it's going to look really bad before it gets better. We're going to have that dark night. You're talking about, you know, the darkness, just how many days of darkness, no communication, whatever. So whatever's going to happen, it's going to reach ahead. It's going to look like all hope is lost, and then God's going to stick his finger in. And I believe that. I mean, look at, I think he's been sticking his finger in all along, you know. So we'll see. But that's my feeling. You want to know my opinion? That's my opinion. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
I hope I answered that question. Jeez.
And then the next question is, I am taking the common law civics course. I'm getting this video is unavailable. I'm eventually getting the correct answers, but is there any way to get the videos? I would like to go back and see the videos as possible, and I don't think anybody here except John would have the answer to that, because the people that worked on the setting up the courses are no longer supporting NLA.
Oh, well, that's above my pay grade.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I have no idea. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got so much to do, I can't even get involved in that. My goodness.
So that's the end of the questions then, Gerard, for Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to go through the the queue. We got George from Florida. Let's open up. Go ahead. What do we got on there? Did I throw George away by accident? I don't see him. David.
No, I think he did.
Well, how come it didn't get him? David, you're unmuted. Go ahead. David from New York. And George, if I threw you out, I'm sorry. Get back in there. David, you there? I don't know. Maybe I put him to sleep with my boring video. Okay, I'm going to leave you alone, David. David, get back in. David, wake up and hit the button. I'm going to unmute Tizoc. I don't know. I didn't. I got Ricardo, big guy. You're on. Go ahead. Ricardo, I don't know what that, EAC, 2253, big guy. Can you hear me? You're on a computer. I don't know.
Can you hear me, Gerard?
Yeah, who's that?
This is Tizoc.
Oh, Tizoc, gotcha, okay.
Hey, so I guess every once in a while I get on and I express some of my dissent from the Trump bandwagon. I want to keep it short. I literally keep on my phone hundreds upon hundreds of memes that are not favorable to Trump. And, you know, we don't have time for something like that. But I think some of the underlying points of the video you shared right out the gate was that there is these two main camps for Trump. And I think the first one was something of being some sort of like a selfish businessman or something, and the other being like kind of like this the savior. And I think that there is a lot more to Trump than just that. But if I was to mention just, it's difficult to mention just one criticism, but in October 27th of 2020, Veterans Today came out with an article identifying 10 separate settlements that Trump had made for child violations, including rape. So October 27th, 2020, Veterans Today, everyone has the capacity to Google that these days or do an internet search, come up with the names, the dates, and the alleged incidents. And those were the ones that were agreed to. At one point, Wiki had over 40 different allegations against Trump, and even those were somewhat whitewashed, as I had come across some allegations from people who have channels on YouTube that have named Trump as being a repeat John in an SRA network. So that's one area. And aside from right, his obvious public comments, publicly known quote of how he grabs women, and I don't want to go down that road too deeply, but that's one huge glaring thing that was not touched about. Another about him being a Zionist or not being a Zionist, I'm not sure, I guess, where the headspace is not realizing that Trump is a Zionist, given his overt stance, I mean, it, in almost every direction. But during this popular or semi-popular debate against Biden, where he said that he called Biden a Palestinian and that Trump intended to finish the job off, well, there's still millions of Palestinians supposedly left. I think there are less. But, I mean, finishing off, I mean, what is it, annihilating, slaughtering millions of innocents? I mean, how is that anything short of evil? Even just killing one person in cold blood, much less thousands, tens.
Well, I would counter that by asking you to show me the actions where he actually did that. You're making allegations and repeating things.
Right? When he was debating Biden.
Look, what's that?
When he was debating Biden.
Yeah.
He mentioned that he didn't think that Biden knew what he had just said. That was the debate in which he conveyed what I'm expressing now. That he wanted to finish the job. And obviously he's friendly with Bibi. He's been friendly with Kissinger and complimentary, and of course complimentary with Netanyahu, Robert Maxwell. His daughter, as I mentioned to John Darish maybe 2 months ago on one of these calls, when she was arrested for child sex trafficking, Trump publicly proclaimed that he wished Ghislaine Maxwell well, quote-unquote. Jeffrey Epstein, of course. Wilbur Ross. Are you familiar with who Wilbur Ross is?
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
In what capacity have you heard of him?
In the child sex trafficking.
I have not heard of him in that regard, but I would not be surprised, as I do consider him to be under the employ for over a quarter century of the Rothschild family.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a banker for the Rothschilds, and more specifically a bankruptcy banker who personally bailed out Trump when his casinos were in jeopardy.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Trump paid him by giving him a position, I believe, was Secretary of Commerce for the government. So the relationship between Trump and Israel, Trump and Bibi, Trump and the House Rothschild has been ironclad, to say the least. Trump has self-identified as the greatest president for Israel. And again, I can go on and on and on a very long time for the Zionist sprout, but I'm not sure how anyone can definitively...
Well, listen, all I can say is a house divided will not stand. So you're telling me he's a Zionist and he's... Look, the Zionists are demon worshippers, okay? They believe in child sacrifice and cannibalism and all that stuff. And
the Mystery Babylon religion, correct?
Right.
Yes.
So I have a hard time believing that that's not just optics or whatever God's plan is. But look, God takes who He will and raises them up and uses them. Not every man, and I don't think that Trump is a choir boy. I think he has his things, but I think that he is a guy that can get the job done, just like Cyrus, just like Nebuchadnezzar that God used. And so it's not about the man, it's about the battle that's coming. And God's going to stick his finger in. And Trump is a tool. And he's going to say whatever he has to say to do what he has to do. And I reserve my judgment on that until I actually see hard evidence. I don't care what anybody says. I don't believe that he's let actual child molesters go, Trump himself. I'd like to see the evidence of that, other than some.
If I read briefly from the article I opened with, the Veterans Today article headline. Now, yeah. I'll truncate this because I don't want to take too much time.
Mm-hmm.
Settlements for 10 child rapes claiming a mental disorder, quote, pedophilic disorder F65.4, end quote. Note, all references to any of this material are banned in Russia promoting terrorism, so that's a commentary. Now, 1 through 6, Michael Parker, 10 years old, oral rape, Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, Florida, 92, Trump paid his parents $3 million. Number 2, Kelly Fuhrer, 12 years old, $1 million settlement, paid in 89, allegations, forced intercourse, Trump Tower, New York, New York. Number 3, and this goes on, right? October 27th, 2020. Everyone can look this up. You know, there's 7 more names, details, and that's, again, tip of the iceberg. I've gone down these rabbit holes for over a dozen years. These networks for the child sex trafficking, the SRA networks in particular, extremely well, deeply connected. Right? And I'm not sure how familiar you are with this. You can throw out names like the Belgium White March, the Franklin cover-up, right, which went to the White House. There's the Presidio Day School, the McMartin Preschool, the Hampstead cover-up. Of course, that's overseas. The Pizzagate, Donutgate. I mean, the Hollywood, right? Like, the Trump being an anomaly, right, that's not even the case. Like, culturally, sexually, his predilections, I mean, this is exactly what they're going for, right? If you want to be part of this Mystery Babylon Club, they want sexual deviants that are willing to do whatever it takes to move the agenda.
So, well, it's like the mob. They have to have the goods on you when they let you in.
Roy Cohn, another associate of Trump, more than a few mobsters, and not just one crime syndicate network. So, I, like I said, I don't want to take too much time on this, but this is, let me ask this, right? Slight shift in topic. Mm-hmm. For the sake of argument, hypothetically speaking, with regards to NLA, what is the what-if scenario? You can call it a worst-case scenario, but if there's some merit to this and Trump doesn't deliver as perhaps NLA is hoping or even expecting, then what happens with NLA?
But NLA is we the people. So what happens with us is what we allow to happen. In other words, what's our next move? Where do we go? I mean, you know, our plan is a good plan regardless of whether Trump's in or anybody's in. You know, where we build up our sheriffs and our local counties. Ultimately, it's all going to go local anyway. You know, I don't know. Yeah.
It's 38 already, and we still got five more to go.
Okay, well.
I'll let you go in less 10, 20 seconds with this. A quick list of false flags that I've seen Trump be a part of. Admitted in the video, Trump played along with the Parkland Flammia crisis actors. The 9/11 conspirators, off the hook, he was motorboating Giuliani. Space Force, NASA, October 7th, 2023, the Nova concert massacre. Recently came out that Israel sent 28 Apache helicopters to unload on their own civilians. They even reloaded the helicopters to keep firing. Hundreds of Israeli civilians were killed by apparently their own military. Finally, you've got the assassination allegedly attempt upon Trump with his miracle healing and endless conflicting narratives. I'll leave you with that.
Okay, thank you. And well, look, that's all going to come out regardless. You can't hide that stuff forever. And Israel has long attacked its own people for its own good. You know, we know about things that happened World War II when they fired on our ships and called them back, and some of the pilots on that spoke on them actually taking out our ships. So that's been going on a long time. So I don't know where it's going to go, but the truth will prevail at some point. Okay, next person is Ricardo. I don't know if you're still open. Can you hear me, Ricardo? Big guy. No? Okay, Todd. Go ahead, Todd. You're unmuted.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I've got a question. I've been listening to you guys. I'm new with this this whole movement. My question is on the Republic. Are you guys involved in the Republic at all? With with the new president Geiger, Tim Turner was an original, and back in 2010 when they put this Republic back together, the re-inhabited.
You know, I know that we had some discussions there. I don't know what happened as far as you said it was Ted Turner.
Oh yeah, Ted Turner, James Timothy Turner. This is back in 2010. That's an interim government. Now there is President Geiger. He's the interim president for this republic. The republic is a de jure government, whereas the government now is de facto. It's the corporation. So when the corporation goes, I believe it is bankrupt. We're seating people in this de jure government called the Republic, which Abraham Lincoln was putting together before he was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this so you guys have nothing to do with that? Is, I guess what I'm asking is when this corporation does go bankrupt and we get the EBS, we've got to restore the Republic. We've got to get our country back. And I'm just wondering with this National Liberty Alliance, if there are any plans as far as reseating people. I understand it's in a small county, maybe state level. Are there any plans of reinstating the Republic?
Well, if you read the writs that we sent out recently, that's exactly what we're talking about, and the The corporation is already bankrupt. It's already dead. It's gone. Our money's already dead. It's a dead man walking. Nobody's talking about it. It's no longer the petrol dollar, so we're broke. And that's going to really hit big this winter. I don't know how bad it's going to get before it gets good. I can't tell you that we're going to stand behind this guy or that guy. What we're going to do is the same thing we would do with Trump. Look, a tree is known by its fruits. If they're speaking the right language and they're doing the right thing, then we'll support them. It's very simple. It's the fundamental principles that you stick to. And as long as we're upholding those things that this country was founded on, which was right when it was done, there's not too much there we need to change. You know, there's a couple things that we didn't do in the Constitution, but still we were able to get this many years down the road with the way it is. I mean, the 13th Amendment got hidden. Some of that stuff needs to be done. I don't know how that's going to happen, and I don't pretend to have the answers, but just like John teaches, if you know the history and you know the fundamental principles that it takes to be under that God of nature and nature's God, you won't have a problem. You know, I have faith that God's going to raise up who He's going to raise up to do the job that He needs done, and I do think that this is the new Israel, because you know He came to the Jews and they crucified Him. So where did He go? He went to the Gentiles. Who's the nations of the Gentiles? That's America. Now,
America first, sure.
And however, we are also our mystery Babylon. So there needs to be a cleanup, but God has to restore His church. And how's He going to restore His church? I think the way He's going to do it is He's going to protect America, and He's going to start it here and then spread it through the world. And I mean, I know there's other places in Europe and Russia and that where you know, the church has been living in hiding, and that I'm sure that's going to come out, and all those forces will come together. And you know, where we're at, I don't know. Some people think that that's going to be the 1,000 years of peace. But I don't believe we're anywhere next to our Armageddon yet. I don't think there's things that have been prophesied that have been fulfilled yet. So this is the birthing pains we're going through right now. So
yeah, no, definitely. Well, my suggestion is that you know, anyone and everyone on this phone call, you know, take a look at the Republic and the Re-Inhabited. I'm new to it, but it sounds like they've got a lot of people, and each and every state, there's got to be seated interim government, and these seats being taken, therefore there's no bad actors. All these de facto government officials will be gone. They've taken the oath, and that's treasonous. Now, having these seats being more or less seat warmers, it leaves these seats open for a new government. There will be new elections, and I believe they've got a really good outline for this new government. We're going to have some kind of government going, and I believe that's the way to go. So, hey, I appreciate your guys' intel, and take a look at the Republic, and God bless.
Yeah, thank you. So, next question. How come this thing won't go next? Here we go. Let me hit next. We just had Ricardo, so.
Hello, Gerard. It's Anthony from West Virginia. How you doing?
Good, Anthony. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay. I watched the Tucker show this week, and he was interviewing some guy that was supposed to be deep and knowledgeable into the deep state and all that kind of stuff. And he was making a comment about how our military is a trillion-dollar establishment, and that nobody really knows what they're doing. The presidents don't even have a clue because they don't divulge to the new president what they're actually doing. I'm just wondering, what do you think about that concept? Do you believe that Trump is controlling the military right now, and that's all a bunch of hogwash? Or how do you see that?
Well, wait a minute. Let me turn it around a little bit. Do you think Biden controls the military?
I'm just asking you. I'm just wondering.
Look at. I don't believe that anybody bad right now is controlling the military, and either the military is controlling the military, or Trump is the commander in chief. You know, there's been a movement since Kennedy was killed, and even before Kennedy was killed, to take this country back from this force that has been in our shores for all these years. And Trump did that tour and basically capitulated everybody under him, and I find that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I'm well aware of that.
And he took all the money back out of the Vatican. That's what's going to fund our gold and silver dollar. And look, it. I don't know anything about him and the pedophile stuff, but I know that if you're doing the right thing, they always find a way of trying to tar and feather you and kill you if you're doing the right thing.
Well, they've done that to me, you know. So
I won't say that, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there, but we do have We do have the continuation of government, the CO, and the war manual, which basically says that, you know, we are under that insurrection thing, and that once it's declared, they got 150 days to do elections, and I think we're going to go into that cycle. I think that's how they're going to handle it. And I think it has to be handled by their military. I don't think that you can take these people that have committed treason. I don't think you could take these congressmen, these senators, and anybody else out there, and even these leaders of these countries, and think that you're going to run them through our Supreme Court. It isn't going to work, because China has already bought all these judges and prosecutors. We need to change them. And the quickest way to do it is through military tribunals, because can you imagine these guys getting into a court? What they would do? I mean,
I think military tribunal is the way to go, and I hope and pray it's really happening. I mean, I've heard that that Hillary Clinton, she was dead maybe a year and a half ago or so.
And look, there is all kinds of stuff out there as far as doubles and,
mm-hmm.
and CGI and all that. You know, was the Trump assassination staged? Did he know? I don't know. There's, you know, I go back and forth with it because, you know, all the anomalies and how they let that go through. And Trump's not stupid. You know what I mean? Actually, ultimately, it did help him. It did give him a boost when he needed it. You know, would he take a chance on doing that? I mean, they can fake anything today. So you have to reserve your judgment. But, you know, we watch these movies like Mission Impossible. There's so much stuff that they can put over on us. And I don't necessarily think it's right. But there's supposed to be three Trumps. And one of them is an evil Trump. And he's trying to do what he's trying to do, you know. And I don't know. And meanwhile, Trump is supposedly hiding under Cheyenne Mountain. Is that true? I guess we're going to find out pretty soon. Is he the commander in chief under Cheyenne Mountain? Well, I hope he is. You know what I mean?
Me too. That's the tack I take right there. I just pray that he's everything he says he is, and things are going to happen with this devolution the way you guys put it out. I'm not too sure about it, but I'm watching it happen. I'm hoping to see it happen.
Right.
I can go back. I just heard that this last week, and it really bothered me that there's a contingency of unelected people that have plans for our world and for our United States occupying the world and the way that we take out other countries and put presidents in there and everything.
What do you think the economic forum is?
And do you think that's untouchable? I mean, what are we the people going to do to take back that?
I think they've already assassinated most of them, Klaus Schwab and all them.
I hope you're right.
We cannot let those people operate. You know what I mean? It would be impossible for us to get anything done if those people had any power. And
yeah, I. I've been praying, like, you know, for the military to just restore righteousness like they did with Josiah when they took out Athaliah.
Look it.
You know, the queen?
Yeah. Well.
So, you know, I'm praying that there's something like that that's actually going to take place. And okay. I think that, you know, if devolution happens, that would probably be something like that.
First
if we
of
can
all,
get a fair election and Trump gets elected, you know, that
men,
would be good.
Men have to bow their knee to God.
Absolutely.
And we cannot get out of this without his finger. So whatever happens, it has to be, it's going to be something that's undeniably from his hand, that nobody's going
yeah.
to be able to, like
right,
the parting of the, I said we're in an Exodus moment, and I mean that.
I like that analogy.
Right. So it's just playing out. There's nothing new under the sun. So I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be like that. You know what I mean? And
yeah. The people I hang with, we're praying and have been praying for a real revival, like a Great Awakening style revival of Jonathan Edwards like type, or you know, the big great Charles Finney type or revival, awakening, Great Awakening. Where you know, like the Moravians had a overnight prayer meeting that lasted 100 years, a 24-hour prayer meeting lasted over 100 years, and Jonathan Edwards was a part of that. And we're just praying for this revival. I've been blessed to be able to buy a house that I set aside for a prayer house, and there's nothing in that house right now except, you know, it's a sanctuary for the Lord. And we christened it last week, and we're just going to invite real hardcore people that just know what's going on, Christians, Christian worldview, people to pray there, and then
listen,
are you
familiar with the eclipses that went across America?
Yes. I couldn't quote back to everything that happened, but I was watching the way they would put those eclipses, like connect them together and everything.
Yeah, do you think that somebody like Trump could organize that or make that happen? I mean, the sun, the moon, the stars are there for signs and signals and for God
right.
to speak to his people. Now,
right.
and you know, the first one was 2017, and then the other one was last year, and it passed through like 8 towns named Nineveh.
Yeah.
What's Nineveh?
And that's my prayer. Nineveh was the hub of commerce. And
they repent. God was going to destroy
them.
Right. Jonah to tell them.
Right.
Yes.
We got 5 minutes to go, and we got 3 people left.
We only got 2 people, Grant and FW, right? Ricardo is not there. I don't know where he is.
Okay.
Anyway. You can't.
Just about 30 seconds, and I want to mention that republic that this caller previously mentioned.
Yeah.
When I was consecrating the 55 counties here in West Virginia with 2 friends of mine, in 2014 or 2013, whatever that was. I was running into people that were, as a matter of fact, one of the guys that helped me, his name was Bill. He was part of this Republic thing, and he had an office as part of this Republic thing. They've been putting that together for a long time, if it's the same group.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted you to know that. So I'm going to talk to Bill and see if he's still doing something with that. And we can talk about that later. I'll send an email or something like that. And with that, I'm going to say nice chatting with you, Gerard.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you later. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
God bless.
Yeah. Okay. I guess, Grant, you're up. Where's that, Maryland? Hello, Grant. In the 410 area code, Grant, MD. I don't know if you're a doctor or you're living in Maryland.
Did you click on him? Because it looks like he's just got a question, and
well,
the mic is still
there. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, great.
Hello, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. It's actually Gregory from Maryland.
Okay.
And I take it John's not on this call.
No, he couldn't make it.
Okay. Yeah, I joined late, but actually, I'm following up on, I've been given the task of arranging a meeting, if I can, between John and Sandy Miyaraki, who's the principal spokesperson for the Republic that everybody's been talking about. It's called the Republic for the United States of America.org. And indeed, they have been around for quite a while. So I sent two emails. They've been unanswered, and I was just concerned to, you know, see that he was getting them, because I know last week you may have been having some email trouble. So how do you suggest I follow up?
Now, okay. That doesn't have anything to do with General, what's his name there?
General McGregor? No.
McGregor, right? Because yeah. He launched that Republic.
Yeah, the colon Republic.
Yeah, Republic. Yeah.
I agree, it's confusing. But I'm a supporting member of NLA, and also I've recently looked at the Republic. That everybody's been speaking about. So, Sandy Miyaraki, Dr. Miyaraki is the principal spokesperson there, and she's asked me to arrange a meeting, and I've attempted that through email. I'm not sure if he got my emails or if I'm, you know, sending them to the right place.
I'm sure that we can get her a meeting with him, that shouldn't be a big, you know?
I think it'd be beneficial.
As a matter of fact, Jan, maybe you could grab his information, and I'll have John get a hold of him, or he can get a hold of John. And
I did attempt to send the email copy to Jan, but it's bouncing back.
Really?
Yeah, and then I tried to send it to Carl, because I previously received emails.
Carl hasn't been around in a while. But okay, if you send it to Mail NLA, we should all get it.
I did, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what I get. I get so much email, I don't get into all of it. But get a hold of him. Give him her information, and maybe we can set a call up.
Sounds great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, okay. So I should send it to who?
To Jan.
Send it to Jan or mail at nationallibertyalliance.org.
And the email to Jan has bounced back twice. So, do you have another email?
Mail.
At nationallibertyalliance.org, right?
Yes, I got that part. You said Neil or N-E-I-L?
No, M-A-I-L, mail.
Yeah, he's mail.
Yeah. All right, I've sent it twice, and I'll send it again tonight.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Max. Okay. And that, I guess that's the last one, no? Hello?
Can I talk?
If you're talking, I can't hardly hear you at all. You sound like
a cloud.
Huh?
I told FW.
Hear me now.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay, so I just want to respond very quickly to the gentleman a few talks before who was kind of questioning Trump's loyalty and, you know, expressing doubt.
His morality. Never mind his loyalty, but go ahead.
His morality and whether he's, quote-unquote, a Zionist. And I would just say to be careful. Someone like, and he, you know, he was doing that, and other people do this, and some of the, and you got to be careful that you're not eating the Kool-Aid, okay? Because we just got finished. I don't know if we got late on the call, but we just got finished watching a piece of the video that you showed that had all the bait and switches, where he looks like he's doing X, Y, Z, but in the background he's doing A, B, C. So he might be looking like a Zionist, playing the part, saying the words, but that's not a true reflection of his character. He's not a sold-out murder affiliate, okay?
Why do you think he said Israel last?
Why do I what?
Why do you think he said we save Israel for last? That's Trump said that.
Okay, I'm not familiar. Fair enough. I appreciate the question, but I'm not familiar with his phrase.
The reason he said we save Israel for last, because their fingers are in the whole world. They have to be last.
That makes sense. There was a guy, David something, and he wrote a book. He was some bigwig, and I can't remember. It came out over the summer, and he was like in mergers and acquisitions, and he was really outing the whole financial system. And there was a movie based on his book, and the documentary, the movie part of the documentary, he says, like, you know, he's talking to the wealthy, and he goes, you know, and you people who think that you're going to be outside of this, you're protected because of your wealth and so on, he goes, you're not. She said, they're just saving you for last, your dessert.
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to save for last the ones that need to be saved for last, and you're going to do it in an order that makes sense. And finally, you know, we've seen enough evidence of Trump to be able to have a certain amount of confidence in his character and in his commitments and in his morals and in his, point of view. And you can't throw all that out just because of some conflicting appearance of other things. That's just going to shake you. And the Bible says don't be shaken by a letter or, something seemingly from us. So something seemingly contradictory, you got to look at the evidence. Don't go by what it seems.
I give them the same answer that Christ gives them, and I gave it to him.
You did a fantastic job. Divided, you were like, hey, show me the evidence.
A house divided cannot stand.
Exactly. And you said, show me the evidence. I'm so sick of all these accusations, all these indictments and blah, blah, blah. All these are just accusations. Show me the evidence.
Look, I've had things said about me, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot worse things said about me.
But about you, about everybody, about all of us, every single one of us. We're all conspiracy theorists. But the point is, I want to encourage, I don't want to knock him, but I want to encourage him to not get shaken by the appearance of this thing, the Zionist, because it's a hot-button issue. But we just literally finished watching that clip that showed all those evidences.
A lot of those things I was shaken on, and I didn't walk away from him, but I didn't feel comfortable.
Some of you said that, or the guy in the thing said you walked away for a while, but then you realize. So this guy needs to be encouraged as well to not be shook.
One of the big things that bothered me with him was how Jared Kushner and that whole thing, with his daughter.
But it was all, it was all, he had to do what he had to do. So,
right. Yeah. Right. So anyway,
Rocket Man, but then he went and made peace with Rocket Man. So and he didn't.
We're in
call God that animal, that gas killing animal. That wasn't the case.
We're in exciting times, to say the least. So.
Well, what I'm saying is, like you said, a house divided. We have to be careful that we don't take Satan's bait and get too critical of our brothers and sisters.
Give them
some grace, and let the proof come to the surface. Let that gold dross get dripped off. And nobody's perfect, and don't get too much in the weeds of pointing and attacking our brothers and sisters, because that is not going to help our case, but it's definitely going to help the opposite case, the enemy's case.
And I've been up and down through the years with, like, Alex Jones. He's this, he's that, he's not. All I can tell you about Alex Jones, though, and I don't know for certain, but I know that he's done more damage to the deep state. If he's counter intel, they're pretty stupid, because he woke up people early on, and why would you want to do that in the first place?
Absolutely,
he did damage to them that did not go away.
No, he is a forerunner. He's a forerunner for all of us, and
that's
we
right.
have to give him credit. And he's not no one is perfect, but he's gotten a lot more right than he's gotten wrong.
That was my feeling. And so you see it time and again. So you have to have faith, and you have to be in prayer, and you have to be following God's law. That's the bottom line.
You know, and as far as the leaders, you know, that we all, we have, what are we going to do about the leaders, blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of them are going to be taken out during the EBS. So we're not going to have to worry about so many leaders opposing us because some of them are going to be taken out.
And some of them have already been taken out. They're just
a lot have been taken out, right. But, you know, like, and again, that fear. Oh, there's so many leaders. What are we going to do? Well, they're not going to be around forever.
You got to look, it's going to be about taking care of your little corner of the world, getting with your neighbors and doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Doing smarter, you dealing in real money, getting out of the whole stupid system, you know, and behaving in such a way that is godly and get that blessing.
Right. And republics aside, we have to lay the groundwork for, like you said, a godly, righteous foundation.
Locally. Look, once Roe versus Wade went down, I knew we were good because that was a curse against the country.
Yes.
Liberty is a blessing, and until that went away, that was a curse. God would not bless America with its federal government sanctioning death of his children.
Yeah, Trump is definitely against that.
Well, he facilitated the whole thing.
It only happened
because he was in there.
So these people who are doubting that he might actually be involved with pedophilia and, you know, in some secret, they're missing it.
Well, I don't know, but we're past time, but I really do believe that he was probably more of a choir boy. You know, they're making all kinds of stories, but he doesn't drink. They weren't able to get him drinking.
That's right. You know, I know you have to go, but there was some place in California, I forget the name of it, I think it's something with a B, and it's like a ritualistic place where very rich people go, and people of, you know, note, and he's been invited. I can't think of the name, something with a B, and it has like a big Moloch structure, you know, the thing.
Bilderberger meeting?
Bilderberg, right. And he did not go. He was invited. He did not go. So you got to look at the evidence. You know, it doesn't, people can lay accusations all over the place. You got to look at the evidence.
And you know who did go to the Bilderbergers and all that stuff, that meeting they have? Even Ronald Reagan. They all did.
Yeah. Well, there was a time when there might have been a little more innocence about it.
That's true.
You know, but you got, again, even if that were true, you got to look at the big picture. You cannot knock, you can't be knocking each other down. And we also have to be careful about severity. Even Trump didn't even go to Epstein's Island, but had he been taking a picture with Gil, whatever her name is, you got to put things in perspective. I mean, he moved in those circles. He might have taken a picture with somebody.
Look, I've had my picture taken with all kinds of people that don't mean crap.
Right.
I've been at meetings, me and John, and they run up and you sit there and you. I've had pictures taken with we went to the Flyover America thing, and I got pictures of me and Flynn and Mel Kay. What's it mean? It means I was there. Big deal.
Exactly. So anyway, I'll let you go. I just wanted to say we have to be careful not to eat each other.
That's right. Okay, have a good night. God bless.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. That's it all, folks. Let's stop the recording.
Gentlemen, if you can hear me, that email's been sent.
Okay, thank you.